أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Just a couple of points about the ending verses of Surah Al-Fajr before we go to Surah Al-Balad. The ending verses, the four last verses of the surah, was يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ ارْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّةً فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. O tranquil soul, return to your Lord pleased and pleasing, then enter among my servants and enter my paradise. We mentioned what nafs al-mutma'inna is, whether this is for the few elites of mu'minun or it encompasses more believers. It has a wider range. And what we said was that many of the mu'minun who do not have a tranquil soul in this world, by seeing the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by seeing where they will go, their soul will become tranquil, and so they are also included in this address. Now, returning to the Lord pleased and pleasing, it's a mutual attitude of God towards the people and people towards God. It's mentioned several times in the Quran, both in terms of love and in terms of pleasure. يُحِبُّهُمْ, for example, we have in Surah Ma'idah, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ, he loves them, they love him. Also, رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً is mentioned in a couple of places, that people are pleased from him and he is pleased from them. And this shows that as soon as one side, no matter which one is first at the moment, one side is pleased, or one side loves, or is loved, the other side would be the same. Now, why is this so? What does it mean to be pleased from God? And what does it mean that God is pleased from us? It is not, we know that all of us are created by God. It's not due to our fathers, family, descendants, or whatever like that, that Allah would like love some people or is pleased with some. It's due to two things, and these two things are very, very important, mentioned again and again in the Quran, in the Hadith. These two things are, first of all, Iman, and then Al-Amal Salih. It's faith and action. There's a book written by Emanuel Swedenborg. Swedenborg was a Christian scientist in the 18th century, and towards the end of his life, suddenly things were unveiled for him, and he started to see the souls of the people, where they live, whether they are in heaven or they are in hell. Of course, heaven and hell in Barzakh, because he did not have any access to the heaven and hell in the hereafter. He had written a book, Heaven and Hell as Heard and Seen. Or the more exact title is Heaven as Heard and Seen and Hell. It's a very, very beautiful book. And this man saw things which are very much comparable to the Quranic teachings rather than to Christian teaching. And that's why some people have said, even during his own lifetime, that this man is influenced by the Quran. While I don't think he ever had read the Quran at all, he did not have any understanding of the Quranic concepts. However, when you read his books, you would see that the very core of the Quranic concepts were taught to him. And that's why he believed in Tawheed rather than Tasleem, of course, in his own way. And the followers of the new church nowadays, especially in the United States, are followers of Swedenborg. Now, I don't want to, of course, publicize him because he's a Christian and we have Islamic faith here, but the core ideas the core concepts were shown to him in a very beautiful way. And he talks in the book, of course you have to become familiar with his terminology, maybe through the hundreds of pages at the beginning you would not understand what is he talking about. But he also says that I have seen in the other world, in the world of Barzakh, in the world of the souls, both in heaven and in hell of Barzakh, and in heaven and hell of Barzakh, I have seen that what is valued there is not the outward religion rituals that we show. Of course, these are very important. However, what comes to be of value there are two things: good and truth. Now, this good and truth, he says that good is the origin of our volition. If we will good, which of course would consequently result in doing good, is something which would become very much magnified in the other world. And also, if we are more with the truth, which is the origin of, which originates from our understanding, truth is the depth of the faith. When we talk about faith, we talk about a different kind of understanding, a different type of knowledge. Knowledge is, of course, branched into many different parts. However, faith is something by which we understand our soul and we understand God. It's a knowledge which, the door of which is opened inward. This is very important. It's through the faith that we can understand why we live, what should we do, what is God. All these are through the faith. When Amirul Mu'min alayhi salam was asked, do you see your Lord? He said, of course I see my Lord. I never have worshipped the Lord that I have not seen. Then he explained that, of course, you cannot see him by eyes. لا تدركه الأبصار بمشاهدة العيون. It's not the eyes that can see it. ولكن تدركه القلوب بحقائق الإيمان. It's the heart which with the levels of reality of faith can see him. The deeper your faith goes, the better you can see your Lord. More yaqeen you will have. And yaqeen is something which is your capital, your treasure in the world to come. It is not the case that Allah will reward or punish the way we understand it. It is us who open or close our souls to Allah's grace and favors. If we close our heart to Allah's favors, when we go to the next world, we receive nothing. And since we always look at ourselves, the nature, the body, what we cared about very much in this world, since this is not valued in that world, we are in torment, we are in torture all the time. And there is nothing of grace of God which enters our soul, our heart. On the contrary, when we open our heart to the grace of God, that is when we open our eyes inward, then when we go to the next world, we always receive things from God. Constantly we receive and we go higher and higher. Of course, now I'm talking about Barzakh. Then in Paradise and Hell, the things are very, very much different. Now, if you open your heart and you have goodwill all the time, if your faith deepens and deepens, and your action is accorded with it, as we have in the Quran, إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ. The good word, that is the word which is according to the truth. And the truth of this word is Allah. That's the center of everything. Anything else is just additional. The truth of this word is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we have this كَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ in our heart, it grows up. However, it needs something else. We need two wings to fly. One is this faith, the other one is what Swedenborg calls good, and what the Quran calls al-amal al-salih. Now, amal al-salih makes this faith to raise higher and higher to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when this happens, two things will come about. First of all, the more you know God, and the more you do good, the more you love good, and the more you love God, and the more you will become pleased of your Lord. Now, the more you are like this, the more the Lord is pleased with you, because Allah loves this thing. Allah loves you to open your heart. Allah loves to give you His grace. It's not that He stops it. It's just like the air. It's everywhere. The only thing is that whether you want to breathe it or you don't want to breathe it. If you want to breathe it, it's there. You have to open your system to the air. You have to inhale it. If your system is not working very well, if you cannot inhale it, then it's your own fault. So, when you reach this point where you have opened your inwards, your heart towards Allah, and you have supported it by good, which is the act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah does nothing but good. Then, first of all, you know Him, and you become very much pleased of Him, and He will become very much pleased of you. And this is the situation of an-nafsul mutma'inna. Or you can say, vice versa, when you reach this state, your soul will become tranquil. And this is the state of most mu'mineen in Barzakh. Their souls become quite tranquil, very much pleased with what they see, with what they hear, and with what they receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a whole life there, which of course is conducive towards a higher level, preparing us for the resurrection, going back to bodies again, going and living in the vicinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the next stage, which is mentioned here, فَادْخُلِي فِي عَبَادِي. Enter my servants, the servants with whom I have been always pleased, and they have been pleased with me. These are, of course, the special servants. These are the servants which Allah mentions as عَبَادِي إِلَّا اللَّهِ الْمُخْلَصُونَ, those who are completely purified for the Lord. If you follow what the prophets, I'm insisting, the prophets, not only the prophets, every nation have their own, لَكُلٍ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شَرْعَةً وَمِنْحَاجًا, for every nation we have put a path, a sharia, and a path towards me. Now, of course, after Islam comes, if other nations receive the reality of Islam, that's fine, they come to a higher level of faith. If not, if they act according to their own religion, according to what they understand as faith and as good, provided this faith is not distorted. This is very important. Again, I want to quote Swedenborg. He says that, I have seen in Barzakh, those who believe in Trinity, they lose their direction because they don't know which direction they have to go. And they become like stupid people. And it's very important that what you have faith in is something which would direct you towards that center of everything, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should not lose your direction. So, if you follow وَمَنْ يُتَعَ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ, whoever obeys God and the Messenger. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصَّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. So these ibadi are these people. Prophets, Siddiqeen, A'imma alayhi salam are Siddiqeen, of course. The witnesses, the righteous, these are the elites among the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here when we die and when we are pleased with God, God is pleased with us, then Allah says, now come and enter and live with these people. فَادْخُلِي فِي عَبَادِي. And something very interesting mentioned at the very end, وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي, enter my paradise. This is the only place in the Quran when paradise is attributed to Him. Nowhere else in the Quran paradise is attributed to God. It's جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ, or Jannatin, or Jannatun Arduha Samawatu Alat. A paradise, or different paradises, different gardens, which are so huge, or whatever. But never ever the Quran has mentioned that Allah saying, my paradise, Jannati, my garden. And in in the very essence of the expression, my garden, it means, now the Urafa usually say that this is Jannatul Zaat, the garden of the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this my garden would imply not the physical aspects of Jannah, because the physical aspects of Jannah are mentioned everywhere in the Quran. But my garden is come and see who am I. You would enjoy it. Certainly you would enjoy it. When you come, when the Urafa say Jannah Suzar, of course many theologians would throw at them saying that, why you say this? Allah is most transcendent than allowing anyone to go and sense what is there close to his existence or his being. I remember once Imam Khomeini alayhi rahmah was giving tafsir in the Quran, which was stopped, again because of many criticism which came from different directions, that why you give such a tafsir on the TV for general public. And he mentioned this, Jannatul Zaat, وَدْخُلِي جَنَّةِ, and he said, for some servants, this is the case, they will be entered into Jannatul Zaat. Jannatul Zaat is what? Or even if you don't say Jannatul Zaat, you say Jannah of attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see them. It is much, much more exciting, much more exciting than what you have in terms of gardens and fruits and mansions and these things. These are physical things. What you see from God Himself, His attributes. Of course, all these things are extensions of His attributes, isn't it? If we eat a delicious fruit and we enjoy it, this is an extension of His attributes. And what we see in paradise, of course, it is of higher degree of the extension of His attributes, but there are things which are not physical and people would see there. And this is when Allah allows them to enter a garden which is the garden of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a much more exciting garden, as I said, the physical aspect of the Jannah. So, to summarize again, the surah started with, of course, a sort of threatening tone, that these people disobeyed me, these people, أَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ, they made lots of mischief on the earth, and I punished them, and on the day of judgment there will be a much worse situation for them. However, this is not why I have created you. This is just digressing from the course. What I have created you for is to come here, to come in my garden, to share my excitement, so to speak. Of course, Allah is never excited or anything, but so to speak, in our language, to share what I have. I want to give you from the pleasure that I am experiencing. Again, we are now totally talking in human language. Allah is more exalted than what we say. However, come, I want you to share with me what I have. And this is why I have created you. And the only thing is that you have to do good and you have to have truth in you to be allowed to share all these beauties. Okay, this is the end of Surah Al-Fajr. Now we want to go to Surah Al-Balagh.